And now the opinion page. And when you turn on the TV to watch the Oscars this coming weekend, the red carpet might be a little wider than usual. 10 films are nominated for Best Picture this year instead of 5. That's the first time that's happened in more than half a century. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, the Hollywood group that oversees the Oscars, insists the expansion just recognizes that there are lots of great pictures out there. Neil Gabler calls it pandering. In an op-ed that ran in the Los Angeles Times, he argued this is the same kind of cultural inflation as awarding every kid on the soccer team a trophy, whether they're any good or not. So just recognition of films that might otherwise be overlooked, or panderocracy. Call 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also weigh in on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. We've posted a link to Neil Gabler's op-ed and Oscar panderocracy on that site. And Neil Gabler is a cultural historian and author. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much, Neil.
And if the purpose of the Oscar telecast is to drum up business at the box office, what's the problem with making the broadcast a little more interesting?
Well, there's an interesting element here. When Sidney Gannis, who was then the president of the Academy, announced this, he said, as you just said, that they had to expand the field because there were so many deserving films, and they were now being eliminated. But if you look at the Oscars as they were originally intended, which was as a way to reward merit, there is something a little fishy about saying that now suddenly you need 10 films rather than 5 at a time when there are fewer films being produced than virtually at any time in film history, and that it just so happens that you realize you have to expand the field at a time when the ratings for the Oscar broadcast are plummeting.
Well, we do recognize that the years when a big blockbuster, Titanic, for example, was up for Best Picture, the ratings are a lot better than in the years when the big blockbuster last year, for example, the Dark Knight, is not up for Best Picture.
Yes, and of course that, I think, is what really is behind the reasoning. It's not a matter of rewarding merit, and 10 films are more deserving than 5, because some might have to be eliminated if you only have a field of 5. What it really is about is attracting eyes to the Oscar broadcast. And the problem with the Oscars, I think in the Academy's own view recently, has been that too many small independent movies, like some Slumdog Millionaire last year, are being rewarded, leaving out, as you said, things like The Dark Knight and Avatar. So in a sense, one might say that these were the Avatar Oscars. You expand the field so that you get Avatar into that field. Frankly, I think it would have been included among the 5 in any case. But this way, you're going to get a much larger viewership because people will have a rooting interest. They'll be rooting for films that they have actually seen as opposed to small films that they haven't seen.
Right, Up in the Air, for example, or The Hurt Locker or something like that.
Yes, exactly. It's funny because Hurt Locker right now, if one were handicapping the Oscars, is probably the front runner. And of all the movies in recent history as Oscar contenders, it has the smallest box office. So there is a certain amount of irony in the fact that you expand the field to include the blockbusters, and the movie that now is the front runner is the film that has fewer people having gone to see it.
Well, isn't the sort of basis of your argument, and I hate to be a cynic here, the Academy, of course, the industry, says, well, it's about merit. Well, it's always been about money. It's always been about drumming up business for the movies.
Yes, well, you're absolutely right in the sense that they've kind of blown their cover this time. They've always talked about it as being about merit. When the Academy Awards were initiated in 1927, the idea was that you reward merit, and we've always talked about it in that sense, that it's all about merit, it's about aesthetics, it's not about money. But of course it's always been about money. And now, as I say, they've kind of blown their cover. By enlarging the field, they're not only getting higher ratings, but as you pointed out earlier, now there are 10 films that can put on their advertisements in the newspapers, nominated for Best Picture, as opposed to 5.
And that seems to be working. It's been a banner year for the movie business.
Yes, it is working. Not working so well for movies like Hurt Locker and Precious and District 9, but movies like Avatar are arguably getting even more people to go and see them than they would have had they not had that imprimatur of Best Picture nomination.
Well, those other films had the misfortune to be out of distribution by the time they got the nomination.
Out of distribution, and even when they're put back into distribution, you know, they're not going to get the big bump that that one might expect by getting that, again, that Best Picture nomination. But, you know, it's a vast kind of scheme, and I do call it cultural inflation because it's part of something that's symptomatic of something larger in the culture. You know, I do compare it to the idea of giving every kid on the juvenile soccer team a trophy. But, you know, we see this in sports generally, including professional sports. You know, once upon a time, there were 8 teams that contended for the NCAA basketball championship. Now there are 65.
Mm-hmm.
And people are even talking about enlarging the field beyond that and making this essentially, you know, putting all 120 or so teams into the tournament. And this is the same thing has happened in baseball.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the NCAA tournament. It used to be just 8 or 16 teams. The conference champions were the only ones allowed to compete, which had the effect of making the other tournament, the National Invitational Tournament, more important.
You're absolutely right there. It was a much more important tournament because there you had worthy teams competing. Once upon a time, though, you actually had to win the conference championship in order to have the right to contend for the national championship. One might say that there's a certain amount of logic in that. If you're not the champion of your conference, how in God's name can you be the champion of the entire nation? But, of course, that's been completely knocked out. Now we have as many as 8 teams from a single conference qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it's happened in baseball where you used to have the pennant winners of each league contending for the World Series.
Yeah, you used to have 16 teams in baseball, too. So now you've got 30. You used to have 16 teams. Now you've got 30.
Yes. Well, the idea is, you know, you expand the teams, but still, one should qualify for a championship, logically, if one actually wins one's division. But we live in a society where everyone has to be pandered to. Everyone has to believe that their team still has a chance, a rightful chance, of contending for a championship. And clearly there is a monetary value in expanding the field. If your team is eliminated, you're going to be much less likely to continue to watch, in the same way that if your film is not included in the field of the 10 Best Picture nominees, you're going to be less inclined to watch the Oscar broadcast. And so what we've done is a combination of our own sense of self-gratification and the economy, the kind of profits that accrue from this, these two things have kind of conspired to create larger and larger and larger fields, whether it's in sports or whether it's in award ceremonies like the Oscars.
Our guest is Neil Gabler, culture historian and author. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Andrew's calling from Cleveland.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to observe that, you know, I am in agreement that I think that the 10 films are a bit ridiculous, but at the same time, I'm a huge fan of many of these quality blockbuster films that have come out that aren't just so much CGI that have been overlooked in past years. But even with the 10, I think it's interesting to note that this year we still heard a lot of grumbling from certain fans of some quality movies that yet again were snubbed. For instance, many people felt that J.J. Abrams' Star Trek was a quality motion picture, much more so than Avatar or even District 9.
Well, I'm not without comparing it to the others, but I will agree with you, Andrew. It's an outrage that Star Trek was not included on the Best Picture nominee list. But Neil Gabler, even if and thanks very much for the call, even if the NCAA field is 65, whoever feels ends up 66, 67, and 68 feels they've been jobbed.
Yes, of course they do. Now here's the dirty little secret of the Oscars, to address Andrew's point. One of the reasons that big blockbuster films and films that have CGI in them, you know, have not been among the contenders, is that the largest single branch of the Academy is the actors' branch. It's a very large branch. The Academy has some 6,000 members, and the actors' branch is not quite half of the entire Academy. Actors, understandably, have a certain amount of animosity towards special effects-driven movies. So those sorts of movies are likely to be given less consideration than movies that are more actor-oriented. And that's one of the reasons why we've seen the tendencies, in my estimation, in the Oscar nominations. And it's also one reason why they had to enlarge the field.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a way, enlarging the field dilutes the power of the actors branch of the Academy. So now you've got Avatar, which has no acting nominations, but which is a obviously very heavily CGI-reliant film.
Also kept the entire industry working for about 5 years.
That too.
Let's get another caller on the line. Angela calling from South Bend.
Hi. I love the show. I listen all the time.
Thank you.
I'm just calling to say that I kind of agree with your guest. The 10 nominations is a little inflated. And someone who's who enjoys movies that are more actor-driven, I'm definitely not for, like, the movies like District 9 or Avatar, which I understand the technological savvy and the you know, the skill that it took to put this movie on and all the work that went into it. But
what about a film? Let me challenge you, Angela. Another Best Picture nominee this year was the animated film Up. Should it be counted if you're just doing voice acting?
Actually, I would say yes. I mean, it's still a skill. It's still acting involved. It's still, even though, you know, yeah, there's the animation that's, you know, it's an animated film, but it still spoke more, it had more of a story, I think, even.
So it depends on
that more than Avatar. So Avatar seems, it was all effects. It was all like a lights display and fireworks. There wasn't a lot of substance. The story was kind of, the plot was kind of,
well,
you know,
we all saw the plot in Pocahontas, but Angela, so it depends, if I'm reading you correctly, if you liked it, it involved good acting, and if you didn't, it didn't.
Exactly.
But let me pick up on Angela's point, Neil. You know, if there should be 10 Best Picture nominees, according to the Academy's reckoning, why shouldn't there also be 10 Best Acting nominees?
Yeah.
In each
yeah.
of the acting categories. I mean, if you're going to follow that logic, then why not take the logic all the way and expand every category?
I agree, absolutely.
Just the Best Picture category.
All right, I think we should have best 10 best sound editors. Angela, thanks very much for the call. We're talking about the dilution of the Best Picture category of this year's Academy Awards. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. An email from Melissa in St. Louis. Won't the votes just be split and the least likely candidate win by default?
That's a very interesting question, because what the Academy has calculated into this is, for the first time, they have a rating system when you vote. So that is, you rate the films.
Oh, 1 through 10.
Now, what this has also done it's created a sort of mini scandal over the last few days within the Academy, because one of the producers of Hurt Locker has been sending out emails to Academy voters asking them to vote for Hurt Locker number 1 and Avatar, which it obviously considers its main competition, 10th. Now, this is now kind of spread throughout Hollywood that, in a way, the Hurt Locker producers are trying to influence the voting. Not in a way, they actually are trying to influence
sure,
the
yeah.
voting and to reduce the chances of Avatar winning. But nevertheless, it is possible, no matter how you weight these votes, that, you know, Avatar and Hurt Locker will divide a good many votes, and some surprise film will sneak in. In fact, right now, the handicapping is, as I said earlier, that Hurt Locker is going to win. But there is a feeling in Hollywood over the last week that Inglourious Basterds is making its move as they go into the stretch run, and that Inglourious Basterds may, because of the division of votes, sneak its way into the Oscar for Best Picture.
Without those weighted votes in the past, and I'm sure this year too, I just haven't seen Daily Variety in a while. There were all these full-page ads. You know, Gross and Schmidlap proud to accept humbly this year's nomination for Best Picture for Inglourious Basterds. Some huge, you know, words, but without saying, and by the way, don't vote for those other idiots.
That was always implicit. Now they've made it explicit.
Let's see if we go next to this is Robert. Robert with us from Columbia, South Carolina.
Hi there. I was making the point to your producer that I think maybe they should have actually more Best Picture categories. For instance, like a Best Speculative Fiction or Best Comedy, because it seems like a lot of my favorite movies miss out for the reasons that you're guest was pointing out before.
There are an awful lot of pictures that made an awful lot of money, and you can think of The Hangover, for example, or something like that, that might have gotten a nominee, and I honestly don't know, for a Golden Globes category like Best Comedy or Musical as opposed to Best Drama. Should there be more categories in the Academy Awards, or would that just dilute it even more?
Well, the Golden Globes, as you pointed out, do have a separation between musical comedy on one hand, although why musical and comedy are necessarily lumped together seems to be somewhat arbitrary, and dramatic film on the other. You know, it's again funny that they expanded the field to 10 in hopes of kind of roping in a movie like The Hangover, tremendously successful and also critically successful, which did win a Golden Globe this year. And nevertheless, despite the expansion of the field, The Hangover was left out. There's always been a bias in the Academy against movies that were comedies.
Or that made money.
Or that made money. Although, to be fair, Neil, there's also a bias against movies that make no money. The ideal is to be a popular film that isn't too popular. That is kind of the sweet spot in the Oscars.
So that's where you want to be. Is you certainly don't want to be Avatar, but Hurt Locker, which made two orders of magnitude less than Avatar, that's the place to be.
Well, that's actually not the place to be. Although because of the expanded field, the votes for Hurt Locker may actually be a kind of backlash against Avatar. You know, ideally where you'd be is a place like Blindside.
A mere $100 million movie or something like that.
That's exactly right. A mere, actually, $200 million movie.
Well,
a mere $200 million movie in the larger, Avatar universe of billion-dollar movies.
All right, Robert. Thanks very much for the call, Neil Gabler. Thank you very much for your time. I'm going to write in Star Trek for my vote. Of course, I don't get one, but
I'd write in The Hangover as certainly one that should have qualified.
Well, we'll go 1-2 then in the voting. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Neil.
Neil Gabler's op-ed ran in the Los Angeles Times. You can read it for yourself through a link at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. He's a cultural historian and author. His next book is a biography of the late Senator Ted Kennedy. Tomorrow, the Supreme Court hears arguments on guns in Chicago. The decision could affect much more than gun rights. Join us for that. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.